today on Real Radio.
My church ripped me off when I was younger, and my Sunday school teacher was a bum. Who cares? Your Sunday school teacher didn't die on the cross for you. Neither did your church. Jesus rose from the dead for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 6, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry not only in Jerusalem, but also in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In parts 1 through 5 of A Witnessing Church, we learned that the apostle Stephen's heart was filled with the same love and compassion as Jesus had for the people. He'd hoped to hear the right response from the high priests and the crowds, but just as Israel did throughout history, they ultimately rejected Christ as the Messiah. Now in part 6 from Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60, Stephen realizes that the people will choose religion over knowing Christ in a personal way. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed for the Lord Jesus to receive his spirit. And then Stephen fell on his knees and asked the Lord not to hold this sin against the people. And now continuing his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 6, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 57 to 58, we see the condemnation of the world. Look at this. When they cried out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears. That is, they plugged their ears. They do that today even. It's really funny. If they're selling something and $5, $9, $5, and then they're arguing back and forth, and then the deal's made. If the guy's really angry, he puts his fingers in his ears and they look and they act crazy. They're really like violent, man, and expressive. I'm not like that, I know. But really, and so they put their hands on their ears and they run. Look at this. It says that they ran at him with one accord. And that doesn't mean they all jumped in a car and wanted to run him over. It means that they ran at him with one thing in mind. One accord means they were all thinking the same thought, and that is, it's kill Stephen time. We are going to shut this guy up once and for all. They're going to shut him up. And so they run at him with one accord, verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Literally in the Greek, while they were casting him out of the city, they were throwing stones at him. That's against the law. That's illegal for them to do that. First of all, there's no trial. Rome had taken their power to kill without their intervention. Rome had to be involved in any of their capital offenses. And the custom was you take the man to the edge of the cliff. Remember they tried to throw Jesus off the edge of the cliff? You know what they were going to do? The custom is you take somebody to the edge of the cliff, you throw him off the cliff, and if he's alive, then you throw stones on him from above. And it had to be from above because it was a symbol or a type of God judging you by throwing rocks on you. That's what they acted out. Well, they're stoning him while they're even going to the edge of the cliff. They can't handle it. They're freaking out. Why? The truth that they rejected condemned them. Listen to this. Everybody knows John 3:16 if you've seen a football game. What about John 3:17? John 3:18, John 3:19. Listen to this. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. How about, let's change the words a little bit. I'm sure the Lord won't be upset at this. It says, for God sent not his son to condemn you, but that you through him might be saved. That believing on him, or that believing on him, you're not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because it goes on to say that we did not believe, or you did not believe, or they did not believe in the only begotten Son of God. And that men loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil and they were condemned. Did God give you the Bible, send his son to send you to hell? No, the exact opposite. Then how do you get to hell? By taking the only key that fits the door and throwing it in the lake and saying, I'll do it myself. Shine it. I don't believe in it. My church ripped me off when I was younger. My Sunday school teacher was a bum. Who cares? Your Sunday school teacher didn't die on the cross for you. Neither did your church. Jesus rose from the dead for you. That's why it had to be God that died for us. It couldn't be a man alone. It had to be God who became a man, sinless and perfect. You can right now this morning say, this is nuts, man. And you can have all your opinions and all of your arguments. Go ahead. Try your best. Write them down this week, all of your arguments about why you can't be a Christian. This is the reason why I will not be a Christian. And I want to ask you something. What on earth do those excuses have to do with Jesus? What excuse do you have that would justify you rejecting such love? What do you have against him? Your opinions fail. Your reasons vanish when you look at him. There's no excuse. But you see, these guys not only killed Jesus, they're going to kill Stephen because they made them uncomfortable, because they were not willing to bow their knee to him. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 7, Jesus standing there around all those religious uppity-ups with their robes and everything, and they said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Moses said that she should be killed. What do you say? Jesus, stooping down in the dust, begins to write. And we know what he wrote. It had to be. In fact, Psalms talks about how he writes their sins in the dirt, in the earth. I bet you Jesus said, let me see. He looked up at the one guy. That's Ezekiel, or that's whatever his name is. Ezekiel, May 3rd, 8:45 p.m. Ezekiel and Bubbles behind the... He wrote it down. Then he looks at the other guy. Yeah, whatever your name is. August 17th. Right, you had your hand in the till over there by the liquor store. I saw you. And it says that as he wrote, they walked away from him, from the oldest to the youngest. Oldest left first because the oldest had more sins. Had more time to sin. And as they walked away, remember Jesus had said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Then he looked at that prostitute or that girl taken into adultery, whatever, and he said, where's your accusers? She goes, gosh, they've all kind of like left. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I want to ask you, who in their right mind would have something against that? All of us are prostitutes in our hearts. Jesus said every man has looked after somebody and desired them in the heart. Oh, well, I didn't do it. You don't have to do it. Jesus said if you look at somebody in your heart and think about being with them, you're guilty. Now, how do you respond to that? Oh, man, that's why I don't read the Bible. No, you should say, ouch, that hurts. Okay, what do I do about my sin? I don't like this feeling. Give it to him quick. Give it to him. Give it to him quick. But don't carry it around. You don't have to do that. You can be set free. But if you hang on, there's nothing but condemnation. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no hell coming to those who are in Christ. Isn't that great news? And let's go to the final point, and that's the third point, that at death, the Christian is liberated. At death, the Christian is liberated, verses 59 to 60. And they stoned him as he was calling on God. Circle that in your Bible. As he called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Wait a minute. Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, into your hands I commend, or I send my spirit. Now Stephen says, praying to God, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Thus, Jesus, again, out of this scripture, is none other than God. You can pray to Jesus Christ, even. Stephen does it. Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. That's amazing. How do you do that? It's wrong of me. It's sin in me. And it's something that I just have not been able to get over. But when I see somebody that's little getting picked on, I don't care if the guy's 9 feet tall, and he's picking on somebody that's 3 feet tall, or 8 feet tall for that matter. I can't handle that. I can't stand a bully. I hate that. And somebody coming up, or like some, you know, a couple of guys pounding somebody that's defenseless. I can't handle that. I'm telling you, man, you got to pray for me because my Christianity almost goes out the window because I want to like be rumble and blow them up, you know. I can't handle that. I want to come to their aid. And what blows my mind is Stephen that's the difference. Under the power, he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He said these things that provoked them. Stephen was guilty of putting gasoline on a fire. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put gasoline on fire? Nobody's that stupid. Except me. I did that. Kind of. We were in Mount Shasta camping, and I ran out of charcoal fuel. So, being the brilliant guy that I am, got Coleman fuel and put it on the logs before I was going to light this thing. Well, it's the fumes that are explosive. So like there's fumes going up, you know. Oh, this is going to be a good fire. I can tell right now. I'm about 10 feet away and I got the matches and I went. And it just went boom. I mean, just boom. Flash. Oh, gosh. I'm blind. I couldn't see anything. We had when everything settled down, there was this incredible fire going right there. And you could hear the campsites go, whoa! I turned around and walked back towards the tent. My hair singed on my... When Stephen said those things, there was a whoom! And they went off. And they came against him to kill him. And he says, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, you hang around with Jesus long enough, and you have a tendency to become just like him. You hang around people, you become just like him, and you're not exempt. Spend more time with Jesus, you're more like him. Spend more time like the world, you'll be just like them. Guaranteed. It's the way we're made. You see a little boy, I mean, like sinner, like savior. Like son, like father. Little boy cracks me up. You see the man come by and he's got his overalls on. He's got a handkerchief in his back pocket and a hat on. And here comes the little guy. He's 5 years old, overalls on, hat on, and handkerchief in the back pocket. He just kind of cracks up, you know. And that little guy, he wants to dress just like his dad. If we're Christians this morning, we want to dress just like Jesus. No, not with tank tops or three-piece suits, but with love and with grace and forgiveness. Listen, do you have the power to forgive someone? Are you still weak? The Holy Spirit alone will give you the power to forgive. Listen, jot these down. I found this very interesting. These guys, this religious hierarchy, they had sinned against the Father when they had killed John the Baptist. They sinned against the Father when they killed John the Baptist. John the Baptist said that he was sent by the Father to bear witness of the light. They sinned against God's Son when they killed the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They killed him. That's one murder. That's two murders. The third, they now are going to sin against the Holy Spirit when they kill Stephen. You can sin against the Father, and the Bible says it will be forgiven you. You can sin against the Son, the Bible says, and it can be forgiven you. But when you sin against the Holy Spirit, Jesus says it will not be forgiven you in this world or in the world to come. It is the unforgivable sin, Jesus said, to sin against the Holy Spirit. And you might say, well, how do I sin against the Holy Spirit? Or have I done it? You can sin against the Holy Spirit by dying and not accepting Jesus Christ. That is the sin that is unforgivable in this world and in the world to come, that you have resisted the Holy Spirit who points to Jesus. Every time you and I were doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit was saying, this is wrong. Don't do that. You need to get out of this. You need Jesus. And then along the way, the Holy Spirit has been telling you, Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus died for you. God created you, the heavens and the earth. It's all yours. God loves you. Now come to Him. And the Bible says, we read it in our Proverbs 29 this morning, he who is often reproved and hardens his heart shall be taken away, and that without remedy. You may be hearing the gospel this morning like never before, or maybe you've heard it better than this. And the bottom line is, it could be your last day. He who often hardens his heart shall be removed or taken away or destroyed, and that without remedy. Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. That takes us back to verse 51. Let's go back there and we'll wrap this up. Verse 51. Loosen up your neck now. Roll your shoulders around. Roll your head around. Loosen up and listen. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers do, so do ye. Why don't you loosen up today? Why don't you just put your bogus little argument aside, give up, and follow Jesus Christ? Your neck has been stiff. You hear the Bible. You hear somebody say you're a Christian. You see the little fish or a dove on someone's car, and you tense up. I hate those doves on those cars. What's that fish on there for? Oh, look, they're carrying a Bible, and the bozo prays over his lunch at work. Can't stand the... Look, relax. Relax. Loosen up and accept Christ. You're so tight. Calm down and let him love you. You ever seen that cartoon when Pepe Le Pew's trying to put the squeeze in that little kitten? She's pushing and pushing him away. We're so much like that. Listen, bottom line, you have the choice right now to make it right. You don't have to join this church, but you do need to be born again. Jesus said, for without which you will not see the kingdom of God. You were born once into this world. Now you need to be born spiritually. And you don't even know what that's like because you've never been born spiritually. So why don't you step out and receive him and see what it's like to have your sins forgiven and your heart cleansed and made right. To know that if you die, you're going to go to heaven. Man, that's great. I was pumped for 3 days studying this message, and it was all about death and dying. Death and the Christian coronation. Death and the condemnation of the world. Death and the Christians liberated is the third point. Liberated. Stephen died and he went to heaven. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. To the thief on the cross, that's not bad, huh, today? No soul sleep. It says in verse 60 that it says when he said these things, he fell asleep. That's in reference to his body, not his spirit. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's good news. To be absent from this body without him is to be removed from his very presence forever. You can make the choice. You can actually make reservations this morning. It's true. I know it's not popular, and yes, it's not politically correct in church because people won't come back to mention hell. Well, there is a heaven and a hell, and Jesus spent a lot of time telling us about it because it's real. There is light and there is darkness. There is smoking and non-smoking. And you have the power to make reservations at your destination today. You think I'm joking? Listen to this. Jot this down. Jude chapter 1, verse 13 says, those who reject Christ, it says that they have reserved seats in hell. Those going there are like wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Can you imagine a reserved seat in hell? No thanks. But then also you can make a reservation this morning. In 1 Peter 1:4, it says that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. How's that? So you need to choose this morning where you're going. And by the way, every one of us this morning will choose. Jesus said, if you do not choose me, then you are automatically choosing against me. Sounds like a pressure tactic. Doesn't it sound like a hard sell? It's pretty tough. But he was the one who created hell for the devil and his followers, the angels that fell. It was never intended for humans. He knows how bad it is. Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord, as your truth will do anyway, regardless, it will cut this sanctuary in half. There will be those, Father, on one side of the fence and those on the other, just by the very nature of this message. And there are some that may be angry at this. But Lord, let them know that their anger is all because of truth. And they need now to release that anger and come to you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you'd move upon this body now to draw perhaps even one child into your kingdom that has been wandering for years away from you. They were created by you, they were blessed by you, and they've been living by you giving them breath, but they've never known you, and you've never known them intimately. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would change that. And even today, God, after the service, we can all, as we're going to do, head down to the beach and be baptized, making it a public testimony of their decision today. While we're praying and eyes are closed, Christians, you be praying. If there's anyone in here this morning that would like to receive Jesus Christ, you're going to think about your arguments and then you're going to think about his love and what he's done and how stupid your arguments look in the light of his grace. You want to say right now, I want Christ into my life. I want to receive him. No one's looking around. I'll see your hand. You can put it up and I'll acknowledge your hand. God bless you, brother in the back. Put them up high so I can see. By raising your hand, God bless you on the side. You're saying, yes, you want to receive Jesus Christ. You want to know that your sins are forgiven and you're going to walk after him. God bless you. I can't see those hands. Ushers are pointing, but I can't see some hands. So we're not going to make a spectacle. God sees your hand right now, wherever you are. It is important that you acknowledge him right now publicly, for Jesus said, if you not confess me before men publicly, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. Anyone else? Well, no one's looking around. Are you sure? You need to make that decision right now this morning. May God's grace be on you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 6. Thanks for listening, and through Christ, the believer has an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us. A Witnessing Church, Part 6. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack, and I want to invite you to an amazing opportunity, and that is we want to invite you to join us on our 2019 Israel tour. The dates are going to be March 24th to April 4th, 2019, and for more information, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can click on the banner labeled Israel 2019, and there you can sign up online for our 2019 March 24th to April 4th, Tour of Israel. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.